Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And today we're doing something different, but before we do it, my free advertisement of the week, it's probably the free advertisement of the month, actually, goes to Iron Hand Liniment. You can find it, if you live in Reading, you can find it at Sports LTD, and if you do not live in Reading, you can order it online, $24.99. It's a little squirt bottle, 4-ounce squirt bottle, which seems kind of small, but I'll tell you what, if you have tennis elbow. If you ever saw me play tennis, you would laugh. I can't play tennis, but somehow I got tennis elbow. Both arms, awesome. And anybody who's ever had it knows how much it hurts. So muscle aches, that kind of stuff, you squirt a little bit of this on there and wrap it, and I'm not kidding you, cuts the pain in about 30 seconds and holds out for the better part of the day. It is fantastic. So I will put that on the website for today, which is December 21st, 2025. We're doing something different today. So Alex Parker is our engineer. So you hear Alex only when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only get to hear you when things malfunction.
Yep.
Yeah. Today we're not having any malfunction. Alex is actually our guest. And I'm going to have him tell you all about the docuseries that he did. But just kind of in short, because it's weird to read your own bio, Alex has over 25 years experience in the entertainment industry. Beginning in Nashville, Tennessee, he hosted numerous college radio shows and a nationally syndicated program on WAY-FM, a precursor to K-Love. While attending Belmont University, he worked as a record promoter for several prominent record labels, breaking debuts by the Newsboys, Sixpence None the Richer, I guess, is all one thing, obviously.
Yeah, that's one band.
Yeah, obviously. I worked in Nashville, too. Okay, I've been to Nashville, and I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. The Huntingtons and Circle of Dust. In 1995, he launched his own record label, Flying Tart Records, which I think is a really fun name, actually. Releasing more than 50 albums and singles before selling the company to PolyGram in 1998. He was nominated for a Dove Award in 1997 for Best Album Packaging. And I've got his email address up there and a whole bunch of other things he has done, which we might get into. Obviously, he lives in Redding, California now, hosts his own podcast and Substack called Axe to Grind with co-host Darren Johnson of a thrash metal band called Living Sacrifice. Kind of scary. Okay, I'll channel my mom there for a second. Kind of scary. And also has resurrected his Flying Tart label on Bandcamp.com. He's just doing all sorts of stuff, and he's a radio producer at KCNR Radio, and we really appreciate him because he really loves music. So if you have noticed over the last, how long have you been here, Alex, 2 months?
I think I started September 1st, so okay. Going on 3 months.
Yeah, if you've noticed that all of a sudden the music is, like, perfect all the time. Yeah, that's why, because Alex loves it. So in the Wayback Machine, he worked on it on a docu-series, a docu-thriller. It has all different titles, and it's called The Enemy Within. It's about Patrick Byrne, and so Bill and I watched it after he told us about it last week. Bill and I ran home and watched it. It's awesome, actually. It's awesome. Some of the documentary things are, you know, people just sitting there, blah, 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 talking. But this is like a movie and a documentary. And yeah. And you did all the, like, you know, the showed all the documents. And you had to go do all the research. So that's all. There we go. We've exhausted all my information. Except I do have a link to the Enemy Within movie website on the page today. And a link to watch the movie on Amazon Prime. So I hope you do that. It's enemywithin.movie is the quickest way to get to their site, or you can go to ours and click the links. But it's amazing. Okay, so now it's all you, Alex. The end.
Where would you like to start? What did I do on that docuseries? I was one of many assistant editors and lead researcher. That's what I did. So just like you said, I had to dig up all these photos from years back, because Patrick Byrne was the founder and CEO of Overstock.com, so I had to find all kinds of overstock.com, B-roll and archive footage and photographs. We got photographs from his mom, from the corporate entity that is still overstock.com, and from Maria Butina, the woman that we'll get to in a little bit, that's key in this whole thing. People might have heard of Patrick Byrne because now he travels around with General Michael Flynn and does these conferences that are kind of like road shows of political people, doctors, a few pastors, where and it's called the Reawaken American Tour. And so that's where people might have heard about Patrick Byrne. That's where I first heard his story. I heard it live 3 or 4 times. It is a crazy story, and we'll get to that here in a second.
Should we read, like, his little bio that you guys have on the site here?
Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, when you asked me about it, I was like, Patrick, he goes, well, have you ever heard of Patrick Byrne? And I'm like, I don't know, the name's kind of familiar. He goes, well, he just came out with some new revelations, and I did a documentary years ago about it, and I'm like, okay, hold on, I got to go do some homework. So, Dr. Patrick Byrne is an American patriot and the founder of Overstock.com, which I guess I never thought about who ran Overstock.com. A $2 billion enterprise, he holds a bachelor's degree in Chinese studies from Dartmouth, a master's in philosophy from Cambridge as a Marshall Scholar, and a PhD in philosophy from Stanford. During his 20 years as CEO, he was recognized as the National Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young and navigated significant challenges in driving innovation during that time. Byrne is known for his stance against what he calls the oligarchy. Not like Bernie's oligarchy, but like the real one, comprising Wallstar, just in case people thought, you know,
oligarchy.
We've been drugged and held here hostage. Not the oligarchy.
Yeah.
Comprising Wall Street and the deep state, dedicating his time and resources to preserving the nation's values. He's a committed libertarian, and Byrne firmly believes that the 2020 election was rigged and argues that the outcome should concern anyone who believes the foundational principles that the government derives its power from the consent of the governed. He remains a vocal advocate for election integrity and continues to play an active role in political discourse. And the piece they left out is that he was actually involved in the launching, sort of, or the setup for Russia. The Russia hoax.
Yeah, yeah. That's what a lot of the documentary is about.
Right. And I'm like, well, why is that not in his little bio there? But that was the thing. I was like, wait, what? This guy was also part of that? He's like Forrest Gump, but the government part.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
You know what
much.
I mean? Like, yep, he was kind of like, well, there was no Jenny. Well, there was a Jenny, actually.
Yeah.
She was Russian.
In a way, yep.
Yeah. Okay, so back to you, Alex.
Well, yeah, probably the best thing to do is tell you how I got involved in this documentary.
Yeah, and why they made it and what made him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2022 to work for this documentary film company. We did daily podcasts, and I helped out on 2 documentaries, one of which was the Patrick Byrne, and the other one was the one called The State of Denial about the Kerry Lake trial. So there was lots of tech talk and political intrigue about voting machines, so that I had to do a lot of research on that one too. So when the election came around in 2024, I knew exactly what people were talking about, what the stats were, and I'm like, I know, like, all this
I
stuff
did
now.
All that.
Yeah, I'm like, I know exactly what they're talking about. So yeah, I moved in 2022, and it was late 2023. It was that the director, producer, they're husband and wife. They have the film company called Spiro Pictures, and they were in Tulsa, but now they're in Nashville. They brought me in, and they brought the line producer, which the line producer is like the bookkeeper and the admin person on any kind of film set. They're the ones that give you your call sheets and give you your paychecks and make sure everything's paid for and people are at the right place at the right time.
So they're important.
They are important.
Yeah.
A job I definitely did not want. I would be terrible at it.
Yeah.
So they brought us in. We were sitting at their breakfast table, and the first thing they say is, give us your cell phone. And they took all of our cell phones and put them in the microwave so that whatever we were going to be talking about, wouldn't be picked up by nefarious ears or whoever.
Have you ever had that before?
I haven't had that happen, but they did have that happen because the documentary they did before I came on board was funded by Mike Lindell from MyPillow, and it was called Selection Code, and it was about Dominion voting machines and how they're all rigged and, you know, political people are installed. They're not really elected, but they want the American people to feel like they have a say, even though they don't really. So they had, like, you better stop doing this or you might find a bomb in your car kind of phone calls, you know?
Oh, those.
Yeah. So they took our cell phones, put them in the microwave, and then they began to tell us. They had just gotten back from Mar-a-Lago, Florida, where they had met with General Michael Flynn, and he asked them to do this documentary. So they proceed to tell us about Patrick Byrne, about how he helped set up not just the Republican candidate that would be elected, potentially, but also set up Hillary Clinton with a bribe by the CIA. And that operation was called Operation Snow Globe. And the idea would be, in retrospect, it was Obama that would be calling the shots and set up all this stuff.
Yeah, because what did they say in the thing that once they had the characters in the snow globe, they could just shake it and,
get them to do whatever they wanted to. And then they set up Russian collusion, not specifically for Trump, but for whoever the Republican Party candidate would be. And the way they described it to us was it was an operation they could spray paint onto whoever the nominee was.
Kind of an interesting way to look at
it. Yeah, yeah.
It didn't matter who it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a super long con. They had enough pieces in place. You could just take a cutout and.
Yeah, and then later on, the same group of people set up the Hunter Biden laptop operation as well, which they didn't talk about in the documentary, but we found out later on, General Flynn told us. During lunch one day. So, kind of conversations you have when you're doing a documentary like this. So, they laid out all this heavy information and they're like, made us sign, non-disclosures right then and there that we wouldn't tell anybody or talk to anybody. And so, I started going to work finding footage from all, I would come in every day and have a list of about 50 things to find. And, I think I gave you a link. There's a YouTube video that was on the Blaze in 2020, in which case Patrick Byrne told this entire story that we were told was top secret and not to let anybody know about. And I'm like, it's on YouTube. YouTube. It's on YouTube. It wasn't wiped, during the great wipe of 2020. So that was a little nuts. That's the way I came into this documentary project.
So at the beginning, cell phone in the microwave, meeting with all these people, were you like, what was your thought at that time? Like, oh, this is totally legit. I want to dig into it. I think I might be going down the rabbit hole and I'm not really sure.
I knew I'd be going down the rabbit hole, but I had heard elements of this story before from Patrick Byrne. So the new elements of like the spray paint analogy and all that, those were totally new and it made me kind of think, wow, this stuff is kind of creepy a little bit that there would be people who would want to do this kind of thing, but they had these things set up, probably a year or two before these actual events happened. They had it ready to go in the hopper because one of the other things is, and we can talk about Maria Butina in a minute, but when she came on the scene and made like big time headlines, CNN news, within 2 or 3 months, there was a Netflix series called The Family, and there was an episode dedicated to her. The name of that episode is New World Order. But this is like 2 or 3 months after she's in the news. So that comes out, and then there was a podcast, audio, drama series, all about her. I mean, it was like 8 to 10 episodes.
And this stuff had to have all been in production before.
For sure. I mean, you don't just...
Yeah, right.
This is the hot topic. Let's do something. It's like this stuff was packaged, ready to go out. So things like that would pop up, and we'd be like,
that's
curious. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we would follow up with her on, with General Flynn. Like, is this how this stuff really operates? And the docuseries is based on a book that Patrick Byrne wrote called Danger Close. And most of the information in the movie is based on that book. And I think I put a link for you guys to find the book on Amazon as well.
Got to get in there and do that.
I can play the trailer if you want.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so here's the trailer to The Enemy Within.
My name is Patrick Byrne, domestic extremist threat number one. Or not. Perhaps I'm just somebody who's willing to say the Emperor has no clothes. You can decide for yourself.
Patrick Byrne, they're following everything that you've been working on.
Yes, sir. Understood.
You may know of me as the CEO of this $2 billion e-commerce company, but really, I have this other life.
You have an unusual relationship with the United States government?
Sir, why are you bringing this up?
The FBI needed me to set up a bribe.
We can't have agents running around creating crimes.
You know, it would violate too many rules for us to do it. But if you're willing to go do it, we'll look the other way.
Hello, my name is Maria Putina.
Then I would make it happen. Instead of being happy, they say,
just let it play.
Huh?
What?
Let it play?
Now, I know this may be deep throat scene from All the President's Men, but where do you think that stuff comes from? These things happen.
What you think you know.
I was encouraged to have a relationship.
What you think you are.
And as it heated up.
I'm going to meet the Trumps.
I was starting to realize the feds were using Maria to smudge up the Republican Party. And they were using me to use Maria. And this truth is going to be so explosive.
Erase every moment from your memory.
If you do this long enough, you begin to feel like an enemy of your own country.
And arrest this Russian grad student so they could say, no, there is an actual Russian at the center of our Russian collusion drama. A civilization all begins with the rule of law. And once that gets corrupted, it's like my worst fears have just been realized. I don't know, maybe I'm just being sensitive.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being sensitive.
Yeah. To say the least.
After you watch the whole thing, you're like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Mostly maybe not.
Well, that trailer reminded me of one of the scenes in that film. He had a photographic memory.
Oh, and, yeah, that's right.
He could take a deck of cards and fan through them, and then you could read them, pull them up one at a time, and he'd tell you what they were. So he never wore a wire because he didn't have to. He had it all memorized, every line, every word, which was pretty interesting.
And they showed him doing the card thing in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, he was doing it for the documentary and just asserting these things. I guess that was kind of a common occurrence.
Yep.
It was pretty cool. Okay, so we have to take a really quick break. Our guest is Alex Parker, our engineer who's in there. Like, Bill and I are just sitting here. We're in the dumb room, you know, the one with, you just need to bring your mouth. Mm-hmm. And the other room has all the buttons and all the stuff. And then Alex is actually doing all the show. So it's pretty fun today, actually. We're enjoying it. And I hope you do watch the documentary. It's amazing.
Is there an Alex?
Is there an Alex?
That's what I
want. The real Alex.
Oh, yeah.
The real Alex Parker. Oh, my gosh. So the documentary is called The Enemy Within. You are listening to We the People. You can find all of the information about this online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop. Shimmy, shimmy, pop. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop. Shimmy, shimmy, pop. Sitting in a native hut all alone and blue. Sitting in a native hut wondering what to do. Along came a native girl to the native dance. It was paradise, put me in a trance, going shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop, shimmy, shimmy, pop.
Don't pour your love out on me, baby. If you do, then I think that maybe I'll just lay me down. Right 400 years. Don't pour your love out on me, honey. Take my heart, my soul, my mind.
Oh. I'm on the wrong microphone.
No, that's all right. I got you.
I switched.
Yeah.
I switched because...
Because that's a different show
well,
this week.
Well, we're in different rooms, and so, you know, it's not fun to talk to someone like they're on the phone when they're actually in the other room. You can see them.
Yeah.
It's much easier. So, okay, so Michael Flynn wanted you guys to do this. That's where this started?
Yeah, General Michael Flynn. Yep.
Right? So he came to the producers and was like, hey, have I got a story for you.
Yeah, and they had worked with him in the past. Doing different events. Once again, at Reawakened, they would come in as guests because they had also directed a documentary that came out, I want to say 2021, called The Trump I Know, and it was about women who were associated with Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Where they were saying that he was a, you know, everything, and this was, yeah, no, that's not the real story. And that was, did it come out before the election, or it came out after the election,
and it was promptly taken down off of Amazon. Amazon doxed it, and so
it didn't really do what
it was supposed to do because you couldn't find it anywhere. So, yeah,
yeah, probably it's hard to use it as a helpful resource when it's not available.
Yeah, exactly. So, So General Flynn worked with them on that. He would said, oh, I know what it was. Patrick Byrne is a 3-time cancer survivor.
That's right.
Testicular cancer. He was first diagnosed when he was in college. And so he's been through numerous surgeries, still has chronic pain from all that. So he was constantly eating THC gummies and toking up in the parking lot between takes, and he would even tell us, he's like, you've got an hour, then I'm going to space out. So so that's why some of the scenes he looks kind of relaxed, let's say.
Yes, yeah. Probably very relaxed.
Yeah. And then the interview bit from 2 weeks ago that we'll play a little later on, he definitely looks like he's probably on a little more than just THC. So.
Well, he had cancer. I can't, you know, it's funny. He said it several times in the film. He had it twice in his 20s?
Yeah.
Twice in his 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this all happened, all the events of this were taking place. I don't know that I really paid attention. How old was he when all this was happening?
He was
ballpark
53-ish.
Oh, okay.
And Maria Butina, the girl that he got involved with, was 27 at the time. So he was like twice her age, which also kind of makes this a crazy story. The government actually asked him to develop a relationship with her because she was used as the scapegoat for Russian collusion. That was the whole connection.
She was here... What was she here doing? She was here, like, trying to set up, like, diplomatic relations or something?
Yeah, she was came in as under the guise of a grad student.
Uh-huh.
Studying abroad in America. And she was just presenting herself to all the politicians in Washington, D.C. as a, not really a diplomat, but like a representative.
Like a Russian resource?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing, like... Hey, we can all get along. Let me kind of tell you how we do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of weird that she was that young, but I don't know. Stranger things have happened.
There's so much strange about her story. I mean, when I had to do the research on her, the more I'm reading, like the different degrees she had, who she was associated with, she claimed to know Putin personally, and I'm just looking at this stuff, and I'm like, there is no way. There's just no way. This seems too curated. You know, it doesn't seem...
No way, it's a real resume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to this day, I don't even know.
Well, she's 27, you know, how could you have done all that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Just time seems like it would be against...
No kidding. She showed up, and I think this is in the movie, the Rifle Association, NRA...
Oh, yeah.
...convention in Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right.
And she showed a big interest in guns, which, if you're a visiting Russian, you would probably want to be a little more low profile, you know? And... They kind of paint her, or at least when the news hit that they had a relationship and
yeah.
Russian collusion was in the news, the way the press painted her is like a spy, like a mega spy, like James Bond.
Right.
Female.
She had slipped in under the radar and she was, yeah.
And she did show up in a lot of very peculiar places. The way she kind of got into the White House and met Patrick Byrne and got invited to things like the National Prayer Breakfast. She was at Trump's inauguration.
How'd she get into all that stuff?
Well, it's actually...
You tell us, Alex.
It's actually in the Netflix series that I told you about, that there's an episode based on her. She got in through the National Prayer Breakfast. She got invited by Brennan, I think, and she would pose as the dates to certain congressmen, senators, and she would just be there.
Wow.
And she was going under, you know, diplomatic relations and with Russia. And the actual point that Russian collusion allegedly started, I had to find the exact time, place. It was on television. It was in 2015 at the Freedom Fest, which is a political conference that's done yearly. Trump had just announced that he was running for president, and so he was a keynote speaker, and she gets up and asks him a question, and allegedly that's when everything was birthed. That's also where Maria met Patrick Byrne, at the same event, because he was a speaker also.
So she hadn't had any connection with him prior.
Right.
And?
So it's like summer 2015. But yeah, I had to find that actual footage, and it was crazy. We couldn't find it anywhere. So finally we had a connection with the hotel where the event was, and we got that footage there. I do have, I don't know if you want to hear it or not, but I do have, let me find it, the question she asked when she met Trump, which this is not in the, well, there's a very small portion of it in the documentary, but the thing that's funny is this is 2015, this is 10 years ago. How much of what is talked about is in full effect and happening today? So I'll just play it for you really quick.
Okay, let's go.
Mr. Trump. Sorry?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm visiting from Russia.
Ah, my question. Putin. Good friend of Obama, Putin. He likes Obama a lot. Go ahead.
My question will be about foreign politics. Okay. If you would be elected as a president, what would be your foreign politics, especially in the relationships with my country? And do you want to continue the politics of sanctions that are damaging of both economy, or you have any other ideas?
Okay. Obama gets along with nobody. The whole world hates us. You know, it's an amazing thing. You look at Mexico, they hate us, they hate our leadership, and yet they're making a fortune. China hates us. China's building ports in the South China Sea. We could never do a thing like that because we'd have to get environmental impact statements, okay? So we're... I jokingly said to a friend, do you think they got an environmental impact statement when they did that? So China hates us. And yet they're making... Everybody hates us. And yet they make money with us. With me, we're going to make money on them, and they're going to like us. I know Putin, and I'll tell you what, we get along with Putin. Putin has no respect for President Obama.
Yeah, so that's...
We get along with Putin. Then shazam.
When the operation was activated, right then and there.
And it could have been for anybody.
Could have been for anybody. I don't even think at that time that he was the candidate. He was a candidate.
Yeah, that's true, because there were, 10 or...
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, it could have been Ted Cruz. It could have been Jeb Bush. But I think that, you know, the powers that be saw this was coming, so...
Might as well drop it on him.
Yeah,
he walked right into it.
Yeah, so that's when it happened. When
he did, too. Kind of handed it to him.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Pretty much.
Wow.
What else are you curious about?
Okay, so as they're doing this doc, how does it work? Like, you're going to do a docuseries. You know this guy has this really, like, long, crazy background. You've got all this stuff. So does he sketch it out? Do you just sit there and ask the guy 1,000 questions and then figure out? Like, oh, wow, we can't put this in one. This got to be a 3-part deal. And then it's like, hey, Alex, can you go prove all of this is true?
Well, the good thing is we used his book as a guide.
Okay.
So that really helped a lot. So we even knew some of the things we needed to find before doing the interviews.
Because they weren't in the book. I mean, like, the actual things weren't.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need more clarification. Can you just tell us what was going on? The way we structured, it was originally just going to be a two-hour documentary. And I had finished my work. And I was already back in Reading from Tulsa.
Because this whole thing is like 3 hours?
It's like 54 minutes each.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
So, they decided to do the docu-series after I had left the project. So we had his book as a guide, so that was very good. We brought him in to Tulsa to do the interviews. I was there in the room for the interviews. He's a very entertaining guy, has a lot of really good stories. One thing I'll mention, because this came up in the docu-series also, is he was mentored at a very young age by Warren Buffett and Milton Friedman.
That's right.
Because of his photographic memory. So they saw, you know, this guy is bright, and he's definitely on the spectrum. I can say that.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely on the spectrum.
You can tell that by watching him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which kind of goes with the memory,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, totally, 100%. We decided to make this not a straight documentary, but not just reenactments. So there is a movie called American Animals, because I watch movies all the time, and I had seen it a couple of years earlier, and I'm like, check this out, maybe you can do it this way. And in that movie, it's similar to what you see in the docuseries. You'll have the actual actors interacting with real people, and there might be like the car scene in the docuseries where he's sitting there narrating, but he's watching, you know, himself, the actor, actually go into what was talked about. And I think that was really well done.
I thought that was really well done, too. When you told me that, I'm waiting for this scene to come. And honestly, I thought that was so interesting because it was Patrick Byrne talking to the audience. So it wasn't somebody narrating, well, this is what Patrick told us.
Right.
He's actually narrating it, and then over his shoulder is a reenactment of what he's telling you, and it's like, okay, that was cool.
And you go into the scene. So
it was like a movie with a real guy telling you about the movie.
100%. There were only a few other interviews, and they weren't very long in the movie. It's General Flynn and Laura Logan. And a guy named Boone Cutler, who co-authored a book with General Flynn called Fifth Generation Warfare, which is all about information war. And we definitely lived through that. We're still living through a lot of that.
Well, it was interesting, too, because General Flynn plays himself.
Yep.
The Maria doesn't play herself.
No.
She has a person.
Yeah.
And Patrick has a person. And you would think it would have gotten really confusing because there's an actor playing him while he's narrating, and then they're cutting the clips of him being actually interviewed in the thing. And yet it all is very, very seamless.
Yeah.
There's nothing confusing about it or like, wait, which guy is which? It's very, I don't know. I've watched a lot of this kind of stuff, and some of it's
pretty dry.
You know, Blair Witch Project-y kind of stuff. And this was like a movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
100%. Well, we had a really great DP, like director of photography, and I think he played a key role in, you know, manicuring all this stuff. And he was great with lights, and, you know, he even would call me over, hey, can you sit in for Patrick while I adjust the
light?
Yeah,
make sure the lights are good.
Yeah. And I think a lot of those transitions were his idea, he's worked on all kinds of stuff. He's done movies, he's done music videos, so he's very well traveled in the film business. And they brought in to cut the trailer a professional who does movie trailers, and they had that person.
Well, the music was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really a far cry from a, because when you say documentaries, if you're interested in the subject matter, are great because they're informative. But this was super entertaining.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of documentaries. and the longer you watch, the more it was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
it kind of sucks you in. I mean, from the very beginning, he starts to tell his story. And, I mean, myself, I was very skeptical it was like, wait a minute, what is he, Forrest Gump? You know, I mean, he starts dropping all these names and these situations, but he says right up front, you know, you listen to the story and you decide whether I'm telling the truth or not. He goes, because this stuff really happened.
Yeah.
And then as the story goes on, you're like, one minute you're like, no way. And then all of a sudden you get some evidence and it's like, what the heck? He just knows too, I think he knows too much for it to be a fabricated story.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, this, I think in that one car scene, he says, you know, where do you think this kind of stuff comes from? These type of interviews and meetings actually happen.
Yeah.
And, it was very cloak and dagger.
Well, you know, there was a scene in the film where he had talked to somebody and then 2 weeks later that person crashes a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Quote unquote. And, because they were discussing high level stuff and, potentially gonna spill the beans on some shenanigans. The one thing he was, known for, other than Overstock.com is he successfully sued the New York Stock Exchange over something called settlements. And that's when he really hit the news big time. Settlements are at the end of the day of trading when all the accounts get
flushed.
Yeah. The New York Stock Exchange presented itself that if you're a day trader and I make a trade at 9 o'clock in the morning, you would think the trade's done, money's in the bank. But that wasn't the case. The big trading houses would take priority, so they can make a trade at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Your accounts don't settle until 5 p.m. So you, as a day trader, could get shafted and not even know it until you look at the stock exchange the next day. So that
they do a good job in this of explaining really how that worked.
Yeah.
And they don't spend a huge amount of time, but enough to where it makes sense.
Yeah, because they kind of referenced it later in the film because he's currently in a lawsuit that's been going on since we were in production in 2023, suing Dominion voting machines. It was him, Michael Flynn, and Sidney Powell.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sidney Powell's attorney for Michael Flynn when he was in hot water at the beginning of the Trump administration in 2016. I'll tell you this crazy story. I was a PA on the set.
Which is a
production assistant.
Okay.
So basically a grunt. I would go pick up people at the airport, you know, get lunch and coffee for everybody or whatever. But for 3 days, I was his driver and his assistant's driver. So I'm in this big rented SUV with a tricked out radio, stereo system, which was really nice. But when General Flynn was in town, I was taking General Flynn, Patrick, and his assistant to dinner. So I'm driving these three people, and they have a conversation. Patrick had gotten a phone call about the Dominion case. I'll just leave it at that. And he's talking with the speakerphone on, and I'm like, hey, I shouldn't be hearing this conversation. Like,
I don't want to have a plane crash.
I'm not going to have to disappear, am I?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to know this information. But the gist of what was talked about in that car 2 weeks later was international headline news. And that's just, I'm like.
And you never flew again.
I'm like, how has my life become this, you know? And in reflecting several months after that event, I wondered if Michael Flynn was trying to vet me because he didn't know me that well.
Oh, see if you'd squeal.
To see if I'd go to the press or anything like that. Mm. Maybe not. But he is.
That would be smart, though.
He is a 4-star retired general from military intelligence. So he knows the words to say and what to drop. Anyway.
Had he already been run through the ringer or not?
Yeah. This was 2023, and
he'd already been run through the meat grinder.
16 and 17. Yeah.
Yeah. So he kind of Yeah, he would have been an expert at that point.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't making any missteps, that's for sure.
Oh, he told us some things about Obama, too, that I probably shouldn't say over the air, but I can tell you later.
Well, gee whiz, let's take a commercial break and then come back so we can see if we can squeeze it out of him. Our guest is Alex Parker, our engineer here at KCNR. And we're talking about the documentary, The Enemy Within. You can find all the information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Join the ranks of the young and exotic, following the millionaire. A glass and a shaker, our host is a real scene maker, the millionaire's holiday. The millionaire's holiday.
It's really fun. I don't even have to choose any of the music. I don't have to do anything. You just show up. I keep adding things to the website, so I'm going to add this documentary about the family.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you say about Obama?
Well, General Michael Flynn did, and he said this publicly, so there's no secret on this.
This wasn't in the secret car ride where your plane's going to...
Yeah. He said he's the most evil man he's ever met. That's what he said.
Wow.
That the guy is no good, and I'll tell you another story after we're off the air.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be a little rough.
Oh,
on the air.
Oh, one of those stories.
Yeah. Yep.
Where you have to like beep yourself and all that kind of thing, yeah, and it just goes dee 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 dee.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's a lot of stuff. You got a lot of other buttons to push. We can't get you on that button too. That's too hard. So. When you actually are doing a series like this, does it all happen at the same time? Are you researching and filming and doing all that all at the same time, or do you have to do all the research and then start all the filming?
Well, there are three aspects to movie production. One is pre-production, where you hire all the actors, get the plane tickets, and we did do a lot of research prior in pre-production. That's where the script is written. And then there's production when you're actually on set filming stuff. And then there's post when you're putting the music in and doing the edits and the graphics and all that kind of stuff.
Putting all the documents, because it shows like documents and different news clips and all those things that happened in that we all, I mean, had we been glued to our televisions during that time, but those were all publicly available.
Yeah, totally. A lot of them were kind of rough too, because of the quality of the video that was available, so you have to just go with what you have. But when you're in production, things will come up, you know, during the interviews or behind the scenes talk during lunch. And so they would ask me, and I would be working on the set while they were filming in one of the offices, looking up stuff, saying, hey, telling the director, hey, did you know this? That might be something you want to ask him to clarify, because there were, and there's photos in the film, you know, he's with Tom Cruise, and I that's the only celebrity I can remember, but all these famous people, and there's Patrick Byrne just standing there in the background, so.
That's you know. True. There was a scene in the Oval Office.
Yep.
Sidney Powell, General Michael Flynn.
Yep.
Patrick Byrne and Trump.
And a ton of attorneys where...
Oh, yeah, that's right. They kept coming in and out.
Yeah, where, you know, Patrick Byrne is spilling the beans on voting machines and how integrity isn't what it's supposed to be, and people in his government who don't have his best interests looked after. And by the way, so the different parts of the crew actually appear as characters in the movie.
Oh.
The DP... played the part of Trump.
Which is the directing
director of photography. I did not make an appearance, but because my scene got cut. But they wanted me to be Warren Buffett, believe it or not.
Really?
Just from the mouth down.
Interesting.
So yeah, I missed that opportunity. No big deal. I mean,
too bad it wasn't from the wallet down, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that'd like, nice. Okay, you be Warren Buffett. You'd be like, okay, I'll do it.
That would be nice.
How long do I get to do it? Yeah, because at the beginning, Patrick Byrne talks about how his dad met Warren Buffett, and he was just some farmer, and he's like, but he's got this idea, and
Geico.
Yeah, he's got this idea.
He thought Warren Buffett was the smartest man he ever knew.
Yeah. Yep, and then he just up and moved his family, like, overnight.
Yeah, and gave him, like, $7,000 to start this Geico thing, which is basically where the family fortune came from.
Yep, totally.
And it's funny because you think about guys like Warren Buffett, I don't know, unless you sit down and do a bunch of research, they've been wealthy as long as we've all kind of heard the name.
Yeah.
But you hear that, and here's somebody, and so that starts his whole family on a trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, his family knew a lot of extraordinary people, just like I said, Milton Friedman. This wasn't in the documentary, but before Milton Friedman passed away, he was going to, he has a big foundation, and he was just going to shut it down because he couldn't find anyone with enough integrity to pass it off to. But he did pass it off to Patrick Byrne. He's the only person he asked to take over his foundation when he passed away. And Patrick Byrne still has that foundation. I don't know what they do, but
wow,
good work, I assume.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. But you had asked about do we do the research as we go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we totally do the research, you know, as we go. Or he'll mention an event, and I have to go find a photo or footage. The one thing that I couldn't find anywhere, and even an outside research firm they hired to find the hard to find stuff, they couldn't find it either, but it's in Patrick's book. He said that CNN, when Maria Butina was arrested for being an unregistered agent, foreign agent, that's why in the film you see stock footage of soldiers running up a stairwell and not CNN footage of her being arrested. I can only find one photo of her in the police van, and that's it. That's all we can find.
No fooling.
And the way Patrick tells it, it's that CNN showed up before the feds showed up so they could film this, but we didn't find the footage anywhere. So I have no idea if it got wiped or wasn't used or what's going on, but that was one thing we could not find.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're into the last like couple of minutes of this hour, but I think next hour we should talk about her a little bit.
Sure.
Because the name was, it was one of those vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
A little bit like Patrick Byrne. Vaguely familiar.
And she was all over the news for a while there as a foreign agent.
Right.
Yeah.
But did you remember the whole story and everything before you
watched
it?
No, but I do remember she had contacts with a lot of people, and it seemed kind of odd that
oh, maybe I'm the only one who...
She managed to put herself in these positions when it all came out. It's like, wow, how the heck did she do that? 27 years old, and she's all these places, talking to all these people. And
yeah.
It's like, wow, talk about driven.
Yeah.
Did you remember hearing about Patrick Byrne back then?
No.
No. That was a...
He's kind of missable. I mean, the other thing that he would make appearances every now and then talking about the stock market or, you know, what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years. So he made his rounds on the news, too. And then he got, you know, started being asked about her. And so, yeah, she was injected into the zeitgeist for probably a year and a half, 2 years.
And do you think her being, you say, injected, so her ability to interview and be in places with all these high-powered people wasn't an accident? You think maybe they allowed her to go in there so they could get the footage and build a backstory?
Oh, I think so, because there was way too much of a narrative that was being told that, you know, most of it was baloney. So
yeah, that's what's interesting about the film is they take these stories that you heard parts of, and they piece it together, and it's like, whoa, so that's what was going
on. Yeah, wait a second.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it is almost like the rest of the story. Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's definitely worth watching. We've got all the links for you. We've got any of the extra stuff that Alex gave us on this. Today is December 21st, 2025. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I went into a church. I stopped along the way. Well, I got down on my bended knees, and I began to pray. You know the preacher digs a call. He knows I'm gonna stay. Yes, he knows, cause I told him so.
Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And free advertisement of the week is going again to Iron Hand Liniment. It's a 4-ounce bottle. Spray it on. You can find it at ReadingSportsLTD.com, or just go there. They're on Hilltop Drive if you live in Reading. And seriously, anybody who has repetitive motion injuries, workout injuries, and my claim to fame on this stuff is stupid tennis elbow. It's just a ligament thing, and it's just insanely painful. Keeps you awake at night. You wear the brace on your arm, and you do all these things. You go to the chiropractor. So this is part of a whole bunch of things. It's not the only thing I'm doing, but it has absolutely made a massive difference on the pain side. So, you should get some of that. It's also really good after you haul bushes up from your backyard and, you're hurting. Muscles are hurting. I have a lot of people who, do martial arts and that kind of thing who swear by it. So, Iron Hand Liniment, you can find it at Reading Sports LTD. Or ReadingSportsLTD.com. And now back to our previously scheduled program with our engineer slash guest slash, editor, film editor. You don't call it movie editor. You're a film editor, aren't you?
It's digital now, so.
Oh, digital film editor. Yeah, the rest of us plebes out here, we're like, he's a movie editor. No, don't do that. And I had, read your bio in the previous hour, but I thought it was also interesting. I forgot to tell you I was going to ask you.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead.
But you sent it to me, so, this, and I don't know if Bill even read this part, but after a 5-year, this is what he tells me. I'll read it straight, and then you see if you have questions, Bill. After a 5-year stint in Los Angeles as a personal stylist and women's shoe specialist for Macy's Century City, God, I was going to read it just like I wasn't laughing. He accepted a position in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with movie company Spiro Pictures. But this was, we're going to go back to the shoes, but created over 400 pieces of content with them, including social media marketing for the Angel Studios movie The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It was cool.
God, that was a great movie, and, the marketing was spectacular.
Yeah. Well, we didn't
Kudos
do all the marketing, but we did a chunk of the social media marketing.
No, I mean the social media marketing was really good.
Yeah.
Actually, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
So, kudos to you. So now back to the shoes. What's going on there?
When I moved to Reading in 2009.
Where we don't really have women's
from
shoes.
From Nashville, yeah. And so, my day job was Macy's over here.
Oh.
Chatham Mall. And, I moved quickly into women's shoes because that's a commission department, or at least it was back then.
It was the money, not the feet.
Yeah. Customer service. I love customer service.
It was customer service.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the best compliments and most consistent compliments I got from women is like, he's a man and he's multitasking. Cause
you are good at multitasking.
I could be on two registers and on the phone and, bringing up shoes at the same time. So.
See, I just like Alex's fashion sense because it's always a black shirt and jeans, just like me.
Yeah.
And I could be twins. We're like siblings from different parents.
So, yeah, I knew at some point I wanted to move to Los Angeles, so I went down and scoped out which store I wanted to transfer to. So Century City was the most modern store back in 2017.
Yeah.
And it was in a Westfield shopping center that had one of the most state-of-the-art movie theaters. So I could finish work, go to the movies, and it was awesome. And I worked there I worked there for a solid 2.5 years, then lockdown happened. So, for 2 years,
no one needed shoes. They just had slippers.
I got paid by the government to drink whiskey and play video games. So, yeah.
You didn't even have the same taste in beverages.
Yeah, exactly.
You said wine. I was going to be disappointed and sad, but.
Yeah, so I did that for a while and then moved to Tulsa. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's the story.
That's funny. Yeah, I read that. Women's shoe specialist, go back. What? He did what?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. The things we do in life to make a living, huh?
Yeah.
So, back to our topic here, the Enemy Within movie. And seriously, not to just bury the lead here, but a lot of times if people have, if you have Amazon Prime, I think it's $11.99 to watch the series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 3 hours of really good, just shy of 3 hours, really good content. You're really going to like it. I would just really encourage you to go watch it. It's,
yeah, if you're a news buff or a political buff,
you were alive
you're
in the last 10 years.
Time travel here and watch this and try to figure out what the heck's going on.
It's amazing. It made sense. We were talking on the break about the book that Greg Jarrett wrote about the Russia collusion thing. I can't remember. Is it the Russia hoax?
Calling it Russian collusion hoax now. But it was originally called the Steele dossier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Jarrett, his book about that, when it came out, I thought, we all followed this thing, blah, 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 same stuff, different day. I'm not sure I want to really read. But, you know, this movie does what that book did. Takes all those things that we found, like, we learned this, and we learned this, and we learned this, but we never learned any of it in real time.
Yep.
This happened 2 years ago. This happened 6 months ago. This must have happened 5 years ago. It's all really jumbled up. And so when someone takes it, like in a book or a film, and then puts it all in order, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, all the pieces are on the table.
Well, you feel kind of like a dum-dum because it's like, well, this was easy to prove. But at the time, it was not easy to prove.
Yeah.
Because all the facts were not there. Were you super surprised at what was going on?
Well, and like laying all those pieces
down,
finding all that information.
Yeah, as you put the whole timeline together.
I definitely learned a lot. I mean, I had to look up all kinds of Trump speeches and, I found some very funny footage of him that at the,
gosh, I would imagine that pile was very deep.
I can't remember the dinner that they have, like, they had an annual dinner in Washington.
Okay.
And everybody's there, news people, politicians.
State or the media dinner,
it's a different one, but I can't.
All right,
I can't remember anyway. But so Trump and Hillary had just had their explosive debate where he kind of would wipe the floor with her.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
And they were both at the same dinner, and Hillary's sitting to the left of the podium, Trump's to the right, and it's kind of like a roast, you know.
Yeah,
stand up, and then Clinton gets up. I'm sorry. Trump gets up, and I want to make sure I get this right. you know, she had a book called It Takes a Village, and
yeah.
Trump's roasting her, and he's like, we all know that Hillary says it takes a village, and she's done that several times in Haiti. And so, like, and so it's like, wow.
It's like, but,
just watching that whole roast, like for 20 or 30 minutes, great comedy. That's great comedy. But yeah, I learned a lot from, you know, hearing that stuff. I even watched, Trump was roasted on Comedy Central back in 2012.
Oh, wow.
And we even talked about him possibly running for president way back then. And if you listen to, cause you know, they get up and they roast you and then you get up at the end and kind of kick it all back to them. Even then, it sounded like a Trump rally because he talked about borders and he talked about tariffs and he talked about Venezuela.
Oh, really?
And then he didn't really do much roasting. He just got up there and talked about that.
Policy.
Yeah, and that was 2012 of all.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, when he talks about there are 40 generals who support me in my candidacy, he was saying this during the Republican debates for the primary. You know, during Obama's administration, this is the story that General Michael Flynn tells, and it's not in the documentary. He's like, at one point, 40 generals were going to go arrest Obama in office and have kind of a military police state until whatever garbage Obama, they had to clean up, could be resolved and have a, what do they call it, a referendum election or,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
And Trump had been on the radar with several of these generals, and they, instead of busting in and taking Obama out of the office, they asked Trump to run. So a lot of, even a lot of Trump being kind of ushered in,
yeah,
and put on the ticket, I mean, a lot of that was top military
design. Some of that was inside.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
People who were looking for somebody to come in and, like, stop the madness and clean it up a little bit.
For sure. 100%.
It's like, well, let's find someone who, like, has no feelings and doesn't mind being, you know, hammered day in and day out. And someone who, you know, sleeps in 20-minute segments and, yeah.
A businessman, not a politician.
Yeah,
well,
and that, too.
Well, perfect person for president.
Well, he was a total outsider, too.
Yeah.
And that.
But he was inside enough that he knew the players and he knew the problem. So he wasn't so out. He was outside to the point, though, where he didn't see. He wasn't able to identify all the bad guys at the beginning, like we were talking about.
Right.
Brennan and Clapper and those guys were still there when he got in.
I kind of think some of his strategy is keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Yeah.
So he could keep tabs on what they were doing and then kick them out or fire them. There is a movie that came out last year called The Apprentice. And
oh, yeah.
I think it was kind of created to be a smear movie on Trump, but it makes him look like a genius. So, but some of the things.
Oops, I'm know, like rubber, you're like glue, bounces off me and sticks to you.
He had actually worked with the FBI for decades. He was trying to clean up, I can't think of it, New Jersey gambling district. I can't think of the name of the city, but Trump had a hotel with a casino, and somehow he had worked it out with the local politicians that his casino could be the only one with gambling. So you had the mafia in town with the other casinos, but they couldn't offer gambling in their establishments. And what Trump actually did is he invited the FBI in to have a field office in the hotel. That no one knew about, and that's where all the busts happened in the late 80s, early 90s, with all the mafia guys, because Trump would invite them in, you know.
And the FBI was, like, literally sitting in there.
Listening to everything that they're talking about. Coincidentally, or, like, on the opposite of that, the mafia did the same thing to Trump in Vegas. So Trump Hotel is the only one that doesn't offer gambling, because the mafia turn the tables on that whole strategy. So all that is to say, he's helped solve crime and bring things down in the past. So I don't think, you know, cleaning up what's happened over the past 12 years is a new
thing.
It's
not a new
yeah.
new project. That's
exactly.
Interesting. Well, that would be a, I mean, could you imagine the docuseries on all that?
Yeah.
Part number 75.
Yeah, well, Trump's mentor is the same, I can't think of his name right now, with the law, his attorney in New York that got great deals for him on buildings and cut the red tape on, you know, regulations and all that kind of stuff. He's portrayed in The Apprentice, and he would tell Trump, I don't need to know what the law is. I need to know who the judge is. And so, and you actually hear Trump talk about that stuff, like that judge is a loser or whatever. And so I'm like, well, that's where it came from. Yeah.
Interesting.
But you and
Roy Cohen.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Ha.
Yeah. He was also.
You talk. I'll look stuff up. Usually we do it the other way around. Today I'm you.
Yeah. He was involved. Cohen was involved in what major court case is it there?
Whoops. I just shut my bad.
Oh, God. During the hearings way back in the 50s about the communism scare. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. And Rosenberg. Yep.
Yep.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg trials in 52 and 53 and McCarthy.
Blacklisting.
Yeah. So that was Trump's attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah. He passed away a couple of years ago. But, and it's the kind of thing where I can see kind of a parallel between Moses and Trump in that he grew up in the bad guy's house. So he knows how they think, and that, I mean that metaphorically.
Yeah, yeah.
But Roy Cohn was kind of a oily, sleazy guy, but he knew how to finagle.
But he knew how it worked.
He knew how to work the press, you know, and Trump would even, when he was in New York, call up the press as Trump's assistant and say, hey, did you hear about what's going on with Trump, blah, 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 as if it's dirt, but it's really Trump planning his own stories in the press. And so he's running his positive press and press. And once again, you see that happening these days. And the press doesn't even know what to do about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're laying all those pieces out, in retrospect, they all make sense and have a clear story.
But sometimes at the time, yeah it all seems a little
doesn't
a little spread
sense.
Out.
Yeah.
So go to the origins of this Russia collusion with Patrick Byrne and what he told you about the Russian gal. He was supposed to just meet with her. It seemed at the beginning it wasn't supposed to be a love interest. It was supposed to be what were they supposed to be doing?
Well, when she first introduced herself to him,
right.
she represented herself as a weapons enthusiast, and Patrick Byrne wasn't impressed at all by that. He didn't know who she was. The government, he calls them the Men in Black in the movie. They hadn't approached him yet to string her along and see what was going on. And it was her suggestion that they appear to be lovers.
Oh, that's right.
As a cover, like a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was her idea.
That was her idea.
And so the feds, when they came to Patrick, they said, find out what she knows, you know, be this love interest. And they were an item for several years. The feds had come to Patrick before because he was an expert on blockchain and Bitcoin as it was coming up, a big advocate. That's why he was at Freedom Fest
to talk about
blockchain.
That. And, yeah, he was like involved in everything.
So he would get invited to different countries as keynote speakers and like expert. And so he went to China several times and he speaks fluent Chinese. So the feds would come to him and say, hey, while you're in China, find this out for us or talk to this person and see what's on the rise, that kind of stuff. So he had been approached before. Now, on any movie set, you're going to have, like, cliques of people, like the director, producer, the talent, the financiers. They'll all sit at the same table and have lunch.
It's like junior high.
It's exactly like junior high. While the nerds, the camera operators and the PAs and whoever, you know, the admin people, they're all sitting at the same table. And we're hearing this story come out, and I remember talking to the director of photography, and I was like, there's no way this guy isn't, like, a government agent of some sort. Patrick Byrne. He has to be CIA or something, because
how does he have all this weird access? And
yeah, I mean, he's involved in so many things. I mean, government work.
Yeah.
This stuff a business guy wouldn't be involved in. I mean, he actually testified at the January 6th. Trials. Why? What does he know? Was he in Washington when that happened? I mean, it all sounded a little too suspicious. Or that the story was made up. Like, all this can't be real and true. How is he still here in the room talking to us?
If he was involved in all this. And you guys, this is all taking place in 2023.
March is when we started production.
So,
oh no, I'm sorry, 2024, March 2024.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys, we should probably take a break.
Yeah, we can do that.
Nobody's watching the clock. we're all just chit-chatting.
Just chatting away here.
We need supervision. We've abdicated on supervision. All right, so I'll be the fun killer. The story is about the docu-thriller, I think. I like that best. Docu-series sounds like blah, blah, blah. Docu-thriller is good. about Patrick Byrne based on one of his books, but it is called The Enemy Within, and you can find that at, what is it?
TheEnemyWithin.movie,
yep. Right? And, yeah, you can find it on Amazon Prime and all sorts of stuff. And you can find it on our website at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Gosh, should we talk about Maria Butina?
Yeah, great intro.
Is that what we're talking about? Maria Butina, the musical? So let's see. It says here in trusty Wikipedia, we have some quotes around that.
Yep.
Born November 10th, 1988, as a Russian politician, political activist, journalist, and former entrepreneur, who was convicted in 2018 of acting as an unregistered foreign agent of Russia with the United States. So she's got quite the long and varied history. Let's see. She worked as an assistant for Alexander Toroskin, a former member of the Federation Council, member of Vladimir Putin's United Russia Party, deputy governor of the Central Bank of Russia. And in that role, she tried to infiltrate conservative groups in the U.S., including the National Rifle Association, as part of an effort to promote Russian interests in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Senate Intelligence Committee later concluded that she attempted to persuade the Trump campaign to establish a secret communication back channel with Russia. Hence the quotes around Wikipedia.
At age 27.
Right? Right?
Very, very...
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Kids come from Russia all the time and then, like, you know, really just take over the American government.
And partner with the National Rifle Association.
Right.
Friends with Putin.
Yep. Sleepovers with diplomats, et cetera. So, were you familiar with her whole story? I mean, how much of this was like, what the heck, as you were doing the research?
I didn't even know her name. And, you know, trying to find information about her.
Yeah.
There is a social media app in Russia that's like the Russian equivalent of Twitter.
Okay.
And it's called VK. So I had to set up a Russian profile of myself.
VK Alex.
On VK. Alex, yeah. And I scrubbed her entire feed. And for someone who would be a secret agent, she's certainly posted a lot of selfies of herself in places that you wouldn't want a secret agent to know, you know, where they were and what they were doing.
Ah.
So that's why her story sounded a little kooky. I'm like, no secret agent's going to walk around with a high profile on social media.
Yeah, you shouldn't, really.
And her story seems too, curated.
But then you're looking at the story from Patrick Byrne, and you're like, how could this guy be all these different places?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he did speak at a lot of places, and he was a CEO of a $2 billion company.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of get that.
He did have some horsepower.
But,
and he wasn't 27.
No. No, he was 53 at the time.
My apologies to all the people out there who are 27.
But she has since gotten involved in Russian politics, which is kind of interesting that she was able to climb right into that.
Yeah,
2021 she was elected.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of Russian Congress.
Yeah, the State Duma.
And I have no idea what she's doing these days.
Neither does Wikipedia, because they stopped right there.
We have the same thing with the VK app. There was a big chunk of time missing, just not there. So for someone who was very high profile with selfies and then nothing for like 18 months, red flag, obviously. And, but, you know, it just seemed odd. It just seemed really odd. So I'm like, what was on there that we can't find?
Yeah,
it was nuts.
Well, it's funny.
She was also in prison, so.
Yeah, then there was that. It's funny, though, because in this bio, I was reading down under the Republican Party, so here's all the nefarious stuff. She attempted to develop ties to conservative American politics, blah, blah, blah. It goes on with just some boring stuff. And then she had a connection between Team Trump and Russia in order to gain access to high-level contacts in Washington. Da, 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 da. At the 2014 NRA annual meeting, are you ready for this? Bombshell from Wikipedia. Butina took pictures with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot about him, actually.
Yeah.
And former U.S. Senator and 2012 presidential candidate Rick Santorum.
Yes. I think...
That's like, is this news?
I think there's that picture with Rick in the documentary because she kind of, quote-unquote, dated him for a while before...
Made it look like that was a big thing?
Yeah. Well, it was well known. I mean, in Washington circles. I don't know that it became big news then until...
But, I mean, that doesn't give her access to the government.
No.
That's not exactly cracking the code on Fort Knox there.
All the footage and everything I found on her,
yeah.
She didn't seem like the kind of person that would know how to be a secret agent. Because she was way too social and going around meeting people. And,
right.
And,
kind of immature.
And very immature. That is exactly the way she was acting.
Good job, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, so it's like, and I don't, no one really knew exactly what she was trying to do other than what you just read from trusty Wikipedia. So trying to, you know, I would just pull everything I could about her.
Sure.
And let the director figure out how
here,
to
you guys
together.
Sort it.
Now, there's no interviews with her in the movie, but the producer and director did interview her for information.
Just not on camera.
Right. And they had to get some photos from her, too, that only she would have. You know, allegedly, when Patrick broke things off with Maria, he wanted her to be safe. He was generally concerned about her well-being, but he was just kind of cold. You know, just kind of like broke it off, no phone call, nothing like that. And then Byrne actually dropped out of the picture for a time period because he thought his life was in danger. And, you know, being a 3-time cancer survivor, he thought the reason the feds are asking me to do all this stuff is I might die any time.
Oh.
And,
he would create his own Hillary moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he said this in the documentary, but I just remembered this. He was told by the feds, you know, we make people into billionaires overnight, and if you want to do more work for us, you're set. You don't have to worry about it. And he was telling his mom this, and his mom was like, you said no, right? Because I would totally disown you and never talk to you again. And he said it didn't occur to him that he could have actually taken that deal. Like, there was no question in his mind that he would do that or say that. Anyway...
And that was used as so here we'll make you a legitimate prop.
Yeah, exactly.
We can turn you into a legitimate prop.
Exactly. And you don't have to worry about anything. Just do what we ask you to do and
sure.
You're set for life. And that is a good transition into, let me pull this clip really quick. This was 2 weeks ago on the Emerald Robertson podcast where Patrick Byrne, should have set this up. Where is it?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Bill,
what do you got?
Here we go.
Oh, darn.
So here's the clip from Emerald Robinson where Patrick Byrne states that he's been FBI since...
CIA.
Yeah, CIA.
You know, I've refrained all I could from doing this. All I could. I explored every other avenue I could. But we're facing an insurrection... We have this going on. I have no choice. First thing to tell you is, you know how I've explained all these years, I've had this weird relationship with the government, and it was like intellectual, and my bright red line was the CIA, and I had nothing to do with them. That's all a lie. I'm CIA. I was CIA for years. After 9/11, I did have that academic relationship with the government for years. After 9/11, I pulled up into the CIA. I worked for them. And here's the key point. In 2006, you can look this up in the Director of Operations, something called the National Resource Division. In 2006, they took me to lunch and said, you've done such nice work for us in the NRD. We want to move you into this high-speed group. I said, fine. From 06 forward, I did other stuff. The woman who took me to lunch turns out to be John Brennan's number two. So I was working with John Brennan from 06 forward without knowing it. So screw you, CIA.
Yeah, so then it comes out that, you know, most of that story that's in the docuseries, that was all a lie.
Right. So, like, he wasn't just being, they weren't just contacting him in a parking lot out of the thin air.
Yeah.
He was actually working for them.
And he said he did other things for him, but nobody knows what those other things were. I do know that he, Sidney Powell, and Michael Flynn had a think tank, cyber think tank, because there was a big major hack that happened where 425 of the Fortune 500 companies were all hacked on the same day. That was something with SolarWinds, I think is what they called
it. Oh, yeah.
The big, huge hack. So he was with them investigating this, but also doing work on voting integrity. But yeah, because he was an expert in, you know, in what's called spaghetti code. That's when you pour through all kinds of code and piece it all together because things
kind
are
kind of like
fragmented.
His life story.
Yeah, exactly.
The spaghetti bio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I'm like, well, I kind of knew it, and the thing is,
well, at the very least, you suspected it at the time because it was like, wait a second,
sounded too good
to
be
true.
Some
of that stuff, it just doesn't happen like that. I mean, there had to be more to it to have those kind of connections.
Exactly. But the one thing I can say is the years that he was speaking and doing television interviews, he was speaking at this Reawaken conference. His story never changed. It never, ever changed. He wouldn't mention people's names until he felt it was safe for him to do that, but that's the only thing he had to his story. So a lot of people really believed him because his story never changed. And the way events went down chronologically, he never changed any of that. It was all solid and not embellished, you know?
Yeah.
And having a photographic memory, and
that makes perfect sense.
And being on the spectrum, you're not going to really deviate from your story. It wouldn't make any sense. He even uses the analogy, you know, it was hard for him to play kickball in school because the way his brain works is like if the ball's on the other side of the line, you're out. But that would get fudged every now and then, and he couldn't deal with stuff
like that.
That's
right. I forgot about that. He did. He said that.
Yeah,
he
kind of freaked out.
He would freak out and melt down because...
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we all know kids like that, or we're kids like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, that's against the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're getting pummeled. It's like, yeah, keep playing. Run. I might have had one of those kids in my house. Funny how that is. Well, so when you heard him, so this is her thing. This comes off of this, The Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson.
Right.
Yeah. So when you heard that he actually, that whole time he was in the CIA,
yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Did you guys all start calling each other?
No, I didn't, because they're in production on something else. I haven't really seen them since I moved
figured
back
suddenly
down.
The text messages started flying, like, we knew it!
I did text a few of my friends, but they didn't seem to care much. The main podcast network I watch is called Badlands, because they're all about the news and events, not gaining followers.
Okay.
So they're very brutal and honest, and they had a field day with this because he was supposed to be interviewed on a show they do called Why We Vote. And then he was confirmed. His representative, you know, got the web address and the way to log in, and like 10 minutes before, he canceled. And that It's because this thing had just hit. And he didn't want to be asked about that stuff. So anyway.
Because when did this all come out?
December 9th. Two weeks ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what to make of Mr. Byrne these days. I mean, he was a nice enough guy, but like I said, it sounded too good to be true. And
yeah, it's kind of like, okay, all of a sudden it turns from a one-track story into a two-track story because now suddenly you have parallel truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that you guys represented in the documentary still did happen.
Yeah.
Because you had to verify it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The so it wasn't like you were peddling fiction.
No, huh?
It was
what was reported in the news. Anyway.
Right, the reason it
but
was
happening.
But it
was also stuff that he wanted you to know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
It was rolled out on purpose. Yeah, I mean.
But you verified that the things really did take place.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
Russia collusion and,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff was real.
Well, Michael Flynn told us all about that.
But it was being orchestrated by the CIA if Patrick Byrne really was working for the CIA.
Well, yeah, the way he puts it, he kind of figured out, and then this is right before he went underground, he figured out that Obama was the one pulling all the strings, and you and I were talking during the break. I mean, Obama came out on 60 Minutes when he was leaving office, like, yeah, I think I'd do a third term if I could sit in a bunker somewhere and
just be a puppet master.
And that's kind of the going theory, for Biden.
Yeah. Well, God knows he needed a puppet master or he would have just been somebody had to hold the strings up. Otherwise a lot of falling.
Yeah.
Every now and then they let go of the strings and well, we all know how that worked out. But
I know we might need to take a break here in a minute and, I'm just going to tell you the song is going to be, a little extreme, but right on brand and you can hear the lyrics. It's Metallica doing Stone Cold Crazy. Originally by Queen.
Nice. All right, you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
wethepeopleradio.us.
Not the Maria Bustina soundtrack? Different?
Yeah.
No. So we're going back to research. We decided we better tell you because, there are a lot of people who'd like to find out what's going on out there. And when you are tasked with doing research, we've already proven Wikipedia is a fairly faulty source,
yeah, exactly.
Although they are fun for the broad brush and 40,000 foot view as long as you double check.
Right. It's good. Wikipedia is a good place to start.
It is.
It'll lead you to the actual truth, you know?
Right.
Well, alleged truth.
And it'll flag up some things where you go, I'm thinking not.
Right.
Far as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, far as you know.
So I was going to share with you guys some of the tools that I use to do research that are not well known by the general public, but that anyone can access.
And I have posted those online, by the way, so the secret's out.
Excellent. The first one is actually very easy. It's a search engine called Yandex, Yandex. And when you go to most search engines like Google or Yahoo, your recommendations for like a subject matter, maybe car insurance or dogs or whatever, you're going to get five pages of people who have paid.
Yeah, sponsored ads.
To be aggregated to the top of the list. Well, on Yandex, this is a Russian government search engine.
You're not going to have to make a docuseries about us if we put this online, are we? Okay, good.
So it's a Russian search engine, and it's owned by the government, so they don't have any advertising. So if you want up-to-date information, you can do the search by the most recent information or the most popular information. So that's where you can find actual real web results. So it's on Yandex.
Hmm.
Then there's another site. It's called Webpage Archive. And this is good. Now, this is kind of a hack, but you'll understand why in a second. When I was finding all those news articles and documents and things like that that are in the documentary, you would go to places like, you know, the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, and when you bring up an article, they'll give you a paragraph and want you to pay for the rest of it.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
And so with archive.com, or I'm sorry, Webpage Archive, you can put the URL in that the article's behind the paywall, and it will archive it, and you can then read it without having to pay for it. And that's a very handy tool.
And so what you sent me was archive.ph, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. The actual website's called Webpage Archive.
Okay.
And then this last tool, this was invaluable, and I'm going to have a little fun with it. It is called Intel Techniques, I-N-T-E-L-T-E-C-H-N-I-Q-U-E-S. And this has a number of tools that you can use to get information about people, like their Twitter account, emails, usernames, addresses, and telephone numbers.
Oh, wow.
So I just put in Aaron's telephone number.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm probably not the best example.
And so your page, obviously Bill's on there. Do you currently live...
I've roped Bill into my madness.
Do you currently live on a street that starts with the letter F?
We do.
I can see that address. Did you once live at a house where the street name began with the letter H?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. So I'm clicking on your current residence. I can see it's three bedrooms, built in 1998, what the estimated value is.
Can you see Hamlet and Lou looking at you at the,
no,
at the slider?
I can't see that, but I...
Can you tap into my vacuum cleaner and drive around the house?
Oh, that's kind of spooky because a lot of that information, we work very hard not to publish it.
Yeah. Well, this website is based on information that's readily available to the public.
Right. Sure.
Right.
The only,
you have to buy a house. You know, when you take out a power, you have a power bill.
Yeah.
And you have there's all sorts of stuff that has your information on it.
Exactly. It doesn't have things like social security numbers or arrest records. But
that's probably a lot easier to find, though. I mean, really, because you can pay for those.
Yeah. Well, there is a paywall here with this one.
Chinese have it all.
But this is giving you a lot more information. There's even a map pointing to where your house is.
Nice.
And I got that from your phone number. So,
gosh, that's terrific.
Those are the kind of tools I would use. So, for someone like Patrick Byrne,
yeah,
I did actually have his phone number because I was driving him around for a couple of days. And so, doing the research, you know, I put his number in,
yeah,
and go, oh, did you know that he lived in this place for 4 years? You might want to check into that and what he was doing there. Once again, all completely free and legal to the general public. But, yeah, when you start going down those rabbit holes,
yeah,
some of the tools you can use get kind of...
I'm moving.
Yeah.
It's too late.
I don't live there anymore.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I just did want to bring that up because...
No, but that's great because, you know, the thing is, a lot of times people wind up in the absence of the ability to do a good search, right?
Yep, yep.
And to get good data, people will believe anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm constantly having somebody send me something on, you know, did you hear about this or this? And, okay, a lot of times you can read it and go, seriously?
Yeah. No, you're,
you know, I mean,
very true.
Come on. But, so there's that. But the other part of it is, people would a lot of times like to do their own research, and this would give them tools for that.
Well, I mean, I use it a lot when I'm on a group text and I don't know who I'm talking to. Like, plug the phone number in. Oh, it's Bob. I put him in my phone.
You know what? That's super handy.
Yeah.
You know, okay, how many times do you get these text messages? Oh, my gosh, we haven't talked in a long time.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm always like,
those. Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
And I mark them spam, and then someone's like, you never responded periodically. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad.
Work for $600 a day from home, that kind of stuff.
Well, that, I'm pretty, yeah, if it involves a Nigerian prince, like I'm all, you know, no.
Yeah, totally.
But there are a lot of times when you do kind of need, you do need to find that out. So which one was that? That was the Intel.
IntelTechniques.com.
Intel Techniques, and I'm going to put a little note after that that says, find anything from just a phone number.
Yeah, it's a good tool. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time, gives me what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Get you pointed in the right direction to,
oh, for sure.
To do other research.
For sure.
Interesting. And so, did you have to file like a bunch of Freedom of Information requests in order to put things online? Oh, we never talked about the document.
Oh, yeah, we can do that really quick because we're running out of time.
I know.
Yeah, in the documentary, Patrick Byrne talks about being given a special letter, and it was basically that he was untouchable. And I have the clip so I can play that, and that will explain things. Here we go.
Paragraph spoke to the Judiciary Committee's concern that, quote, systemic corruption is infiltrating the federal institutions of our national government. And the second paragraph opened with the words, the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary requests that Patrick Byrne be afforded extraordinary latitude under the laws of the United States of America to pursue his investigations into corruption within the government, or something like that. One of the rare moments in my life, I can honestly say, my fuse may have been a bit blown for a second.
This isn't a pardon, so you can't kill anybody. But short of that, this will make it unlikely that any prosecutor will ever touch you.
One of them told me that this had not been done since World War II.
Yeah. And,
wow.
That's when he started putting it together that these operations or whatever he was up to were coming from the highest authority in the land, and that would have been Obama.
And at that time, he knew he was working for CIA?
He knew that the FBI and the CIA, yeah, were giving him marching orders, but in retrospect, he was CIA now that he came out and told the country. So,
yeah, which, I don't know, what do you think that, what's the impact of that on the documentary?
That's a good question. I mean,
do you think that makes people want to go watch it?
I have no idea, because if you're watching something presented as not being an agent,
but then you find out later that they were,
it kills the believability, I think. But still a great story. And like you said, all these events actually happened. So
I've watched it like in real time, because that's what brought this all up, is you were saying, oh, yeah, and the guy that we did the documentary about just came out and said he was in the CIA. He
doxed himself, yeah. Now, there was one thing, and I can't remember if you talked about it in the documentary. He did, in the interviews, did communicate that he and Sidney Powell and General Flynn met with Trump the night before the January 6th incident, and to warn him something was going to happen. But I don't think Trump was that naive. I think he knew ahead of time. So maybe that was just a cover story to go meet with him. But, I mean, I've got the selfies of Patrick and the general and Sidney walking into the White House.
Well, and that's also why he said we're going to go down there and peacefully, you know, whatever, all that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then lately it's been kind of all over reminding people that they cobbled together two clips and took 54 minutes out of the middle.
Yeah.
Where it basically said, like, we're going to go storm the Bastille.
Yeah, pretty
much. That
was
never the program. All of this is a big smoke and mirror.
Yeah, no, it's...
But the funny part is, it's almost like these guys that try to commit these crimes, and it's like, hey, dummy, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding. Or...
So, like, we live in an age when these things can be known, so a lot of this isn't as easy to do as it was a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you have your phone on you...
Yeah, you're doomed.
They can look at the GPS.
Well, apparently, if we have your phone number, we can know everything, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just go over your house.
Yeah. Any last question? I know we're running out of time here.
Okay, so how much, what are you doing next? Do a little shameless self-promotion here in the last minute.
I'm doing two podcasts starting in January. One, the Axe to Grind, I'm rebranding. That's where I interview people I used to know in the music business. And then I'm doing a live podcast called Hard to Watch. It's about movies that are so bad that they're hard to watch.
We'll give you some material on that. Bill chooses those on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at pinning those
down. Yeah, Bill can zoom in on those.
But I'll have guests on each week. They pick a movie, I pick a movie, then we talk about how bad they are.
Nice. Yeah. That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Huh. You should call it Cinema Trainwreck. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Nice. And are you doing that here? You're doing it online?
Doing it online in Reading in a studio. With
okay.
Actual three camera setup and.
Oh, it's got visual.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Oh, very so it's kind of like an interview show.
Snazzy.
And I know we have to go out, but I do want to play a little bit of this song.
Yes, please.
Because Patrick Byrne is pretty much the garbage man in this movie. It's Homer Simpson singing about being a garbage man.
Nice. And you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who can take your trash out? Stop it down for you. Take the plastic bag and do the twisty thingy do. The garbage man.